Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, it's the 28th. It's Dykes on Bikes, your Gitmo Nation audio publication 108.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from an undisclosed loft location in Gitmo Nation West, it is Sunday. Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Silicon Valley North, the part of the Bay Area that's actually warm today, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Well, it's still barely in the morning. John, what the hell happened, man? You had me worried. It's 10 past 10. We were supposed to start around 8:15, 8:30.
8:30, actually, is what the time was.
Yeah, what happened?
My alarm didn't go off. I forgot to turn it on.
But I thought you slept 7 hours and then that, you know, that's it. You wake up automatically.
Yeah, once in a while.
I had a lot of fun with the producers and listeners who were Twittering.
I got that impression.
I personally believe that you were... Hey, stop it! Stop the papers. Believe that you were leading the Dykes on Bikes parade for...
Hey, you know, if they gave me the opportunity, I would.
You know, and I'm a little
who
bit...
wouldn't? Yeah. Who wouldn't?
I'm a little bit pissed because Mickey and I totally want to go see them, and now we're probably going to miss them because they're leading the parade.
Well, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
They have this event every year.
Yeah, but... Thanks. Not entirely the point. It's kind of weird, though, in the city. Yesterday, everything was closed. It seemed like the whole city just emptied out. There was no one on the street. What is that? Does like, straight San Francisco leave town or something?
All the smart money does, yes.
Oh, please. What do you mean by that?
I just said. The place is crawling. I mean, they got all the streets blocked off. You can't drive around. It's just a mess. It's like the worst date in the world to go to the city.
What was interesting yesterday is we did do some shopping. You know, the Union Square stuff was open. And every 150 feet, there would be someone there for Proposition 8. Whoops, Freudian. And they say, hey, hi, hello, can I talk to you for a second about supporting same-sex marriage? And at a certain point, I just had no other answer than, hey, you know what? I support same-sex marriage and same-sex sex. And you see them like, huh? What is the point? You know, and what they want me to sign something, or what's the deal? Or are they just
probably
trying to... Or is this just about
no, there's a petition going around so they can put another ballot amendment. You know, in California, they have a lot of these referendums that people that are in politics hate. In other words, the public decides.
Oh, blast the public. Blast democracy.
And so they're trying to get this on the ballot.
Is it referendums or referenda?
I don't know.
Oh, you're in a mood today, aren't you?
I'm just saying, I don't know.
John C.
Here's why.
Dvorak.
Here's what you want to know: the bad news, and this reason this was Billy Mays found dead in Florida home.
Who's Billy Mays?
He's the pitchman, the orange oil guy. He's the guy that talks like this, and he has all these pitches on TV. He's like the pitchman. This in the case
of what does he pitch? What does he pitch?
He pitches. He's like the king of the infomercial.
So this is the third of three? No, actually, it's four now with Ed McMahon.
No, see, this is it. This is what I'm thinking. Ed McMahon was one because he's a pitch man. That's what McMahon was. Billy Mays is two.
So we have three still to come.
No, the celebrities, everybody keeps forgetting about Carradine.
Oh, David Carradine. So that's the three for the celebrities. Now we need a third pitchman. Is that what you're saying?
We need one more pitchman.
I really got boned by ABC News. Did you follow this?
No, tell me.
So I was in New York and we were doing some business and I get an email from a producer from ABC World News Tonight with Charles Gibson. And he says, hey, Adam, I see from your Twitter that you're in town. Could we interview you about Michael Jackson? And I was like, yeah, that's actually, I'd like to do that because all I see is all these hypocrite cocksuckers who 4 years ago were doing nothing.
I'm sorry, what were they again?
Hypocritic cocksuckers who were doing, who do not, 4 years ago they were doing nothing but, oh, Michael Jackson, the child molester, and where there's smoke, there's fire. And now he dies and it's all like, oh, we're going to miss him, his music. The same dickheads, just hypocrites. And I'm like, you know, I'd love to talk about that. How the message of love that Michael Jackson spread doesn't sell. And so they come down to the hotel, We actually do a good job. We produce this awesome room with glass all around it. You can look out over the city. And they spend 2 hours with me. 2 hours. And I was on my game. I had some great things to say.
Oh, wait. I can see where this is headed.
12 seconds on air. Literally.
Was
12,
that it?
12
that
seconds.
Much?
Of which 4 was voiceover under a Michael Jackson clip. It was unfucking believable.
I've had that happen. Unless you got nothing but time on your hands.
It's
anybody
a waste.
Out there?
It's a waste of
forget
time.
Forget it.
Forget about it.
Waste your time with the two hours. It sounds about right.
And they even promised me. I said, look, all I care about is just put. You can put former MTV guy. I don't give a shit. As long as you put presidentmevio.com. That's all I cared about.
Oh, and they probably didn't do that.
Then you get the message. Oh well, some executive producer upstream said there wasn't room on the Chiron. I was like, you know what? Fuck
horse
him.
Shit.
Fuck him.
Always
fuck
room
him.
On the Chiron.
Of course there was. So, needless to say. But you know what? I was on for 8 seconds and 4 voiceover. There you go. My claim to fame. I didn't even get 15 seconds. I know.
15 seconds on the network news is tough because they're too busy, as we pointed out before, you know, showing, what's his name? Says Tony Hawk skateboarding in the White House and plugging Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah, Ashton Kutcher, Tony Hawk, that's important. Put those guys on for 5 minutes. Exactly. I had some pretty good stuff. Like, you know, hey, Michael Jackson did something really important. He put black people on MTV. He was the guy that did it, and he was actually black at the time.
You didn't get that on.
No,
Did you make a clip of it?
It's on Mevio today. Just go to Mevio.com. And actually, the setup that Nick does, Nick Mack, is 4 times longer than the actual clip.
Well, that's kind of humiliating.
It is humiliating. It's horrible.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but I live and learn.
What irks me is that they wouldn't let you give it. I mean, if you're going to come on these things and waste your 2 hours, at least they can let you do a company plug.
Yeah, that's what pissed me off too. And we produced the whole thing. You know, we got the hotel all set up. And they brought in a crew with lights. They really spent some money on this.
Oh yeah, they always have a crew and with lights. They usually probably about three or four man crew.
Yeah, and gels on the lights and everything. And I look really good. And I dressed up. And I look pretty. And it just reminded me once again, this is the whole reason why we set up this company. And it's like, you know, I'm really happy we did that because here we are twice a week, listener supported show, and we can really get the real news out there.
Well, this is a show that does real news, and we're going to talk about the big news this week. The real news this week isn't the gay parade. It's not Michael Jackson. It's the fact that they got the cap and trade bill passed.
I know. And it happened on the same day that Michael Jackson passed, by the way, which, of course, you know me. I never see things other than a coincidence.
You know, I was wondering if you're going to bring that up.
Would you like me to do it now? Because I do have a whole theory. If you're interested, or should we wait?
I'm trying now. That's a decision point because I'm not exactly sure where you're going to go with the theory. But I think let's go over the facts of the cap and trade with all these clips I have.
Yeah, good idea.
Now I've tried to keep. Now you have to. I'm going to give some people some background here.
Please.
I should. Doggone! I have a set of notes on this.
While you're looking for your notes, I'll just say cap and trade is essentially the Al Gore systemology of saving the planet, which means companies can buy credits to actually pollute the air, and other companies. So it's not. Putting less pollution in the air.
Well, the cap means you can only push out so much CO2, but you can trade somebody else.
You can buy someone else's, preferably in some poor country somewhere else. So they actually pollute their air, and then we get cleaner air, but the same amount of shit goes into the Earth's atmosphere. That's kind of the idea.
So here's what happened.
And it's a trading system because that's how Al Gore makes his money.
Right. So here's what happened. They had this debate. The whole debate began. People were talking about this because John Bonner.
Isn't it Boehner?
Or it's B-O-H-N-E-R. It could be Boner.
Boner. We'll just call him Boner from now on.
But I think it's Bonner or Boner.
Okay. I think it's Boehner. But,
well, how would it be Boehner with B-O-H?
I just hear them saying that on CNN. Let's call him Boner. Let's agree he's Boner.
Well, no, I'd rather call him Bonner because he's actually did a pretty good job. But the thing is, he came up and gave us his 1-minute speech, which ran 1 hour and 10 minutes or so. And the thing about it is that the House of Representatives has this kind of unwritten rule where they give you a minute here and a minute there, and you can have to stick pretty much within about 30 seconds of the minute.
But other people
unless
can,
you're
can
the speaker,
give their minute.
Unless you're the Speaker of the House or the Majority or Minority Leader, then you can talk all you want.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you had to get time from someone else. Or is he the one that dishes the time out and he can use
time? No, no, no. If you say, I'm going to give him 1 minute and he takes 35 minutes, then you have lost 1 minute.
Okay, gotcha.
Because he can talk as much as he wants, because that's just an unwritten rule. And except for this time, the Axhole Waxman, who's a dick from California, who produced this bill.
I wish we had a jingle. He's a dick.
Well, let me just play a couple of Waxman clips that came at the beginning and the end of Bonner's long speech.
So I have the Waxman
play
the
Waxman
dick.
The dick, and then play Waxman Dick 2.
Okay, we'll play Waxman the dick first.
Madam Speaker,
how am I get to page 34? Page 34. It
the
says not
will
later
suspend.
Than 1 year. After August 8th.
What's happening here, John? What's going
okay,
on?
Okay, Bonner's speaking. He's going through this crazy amendment to the
which
the
300 pages, right? That came in at the last minute?
At 3:09 a.m. So
300
he's going through all the
pages.
Yeah, that came in at the last minute, and he's trying to read some of the highlights, and so Waxman interrupts him right in the middle of page 30.
2005.
Suspend. Does the gentleman yield?
Is that Pelosi who's interfering?
No, that's Tauscher. She's the one who actually runs the Congress.
Okay. Yield for a parliamentary inquiry?
I'd be happy to yield to the gentleman.
The Republican leader was yielded the balance of the time, which I think amounted to around 4 or 5 minutes. He's talked for around 20. I know we have this magic minute that gives leaders a lot of extra time to speak, but
we're trying to ramrod this shit through, motherfucker. Stop talking.
Just wondering if there is some limit under the rules on the time that a leader may take, even though the time yielded was not 20 or 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's the custom of the House to hear the leader's remarks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes! Well, we get the page.
Further parliamentary inquiry.
Did he call for a parliamentary inquiry?
Yeah, no, he continues.
For a parliamentary inquiry?
Be happy to yield to the gentleman.
Gentleman from California.
Now, I know it's the custom of the House to give a little extra latitude. Is there any outside limit to the amount of time a leader might take? And do we have historical records that might be broken tonight?
Oh, that's funny. That guy's funny.
Or is this an attempt to try to get some people to leave on a close vote?
The custom of the House is to listen to the leader's
very good
comments.
Very good.
Reclaiming my time, the gentleman.
All right. Okay, so that was clip one.
That's she's a Democrat, but. But this rule is old, and they can't, like, because of Waxman, start changing it, because whoever's in power can just cut anybody off and not even recognize you if you wanted, you know, so these policies are what they are. So Bonner went on for an hour and some 10 minutes, and so Waxman can't not say something again because he's so, you know, I don't know what his problem is, because nobody else ever brings this kind of thing up. He's an absolute jerk. If you know who this guy is, he's the guy with the big nostrils.
Yeah, he looks like a dick. He looks like a penis.
He looks
head.
Like a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
In order, the gentleman from California.
Madam Speaker, the gentleman, the minority leader, was yielded 2.5 minutes. Could you tell us how much time he consumed?
It almost sounds like British Parliament now, doesn't it?
It's, well, with him.
Yeah, I like it.
The gentleman used the customary amount of time yielded to the minority leader.
Oh, excellent. I've never heard such a rowdy crowd in Congress. I like it.
Well, Madam Speaker, the 2.5 minutes was extended to over an hour. And this is from the same party.
That's the end of
That's
it.
That's good. That's enough.
That's fine.
He you know, this is not an unusual thing. And she did a very good job of handling it. She wouldn't answer any stupid questions. Excellent. And they were hooting and howling. And every time they started doing that, Waxman would also say, I can't speak. There's no order in the house. And he was just a dick all around. It's not that he didn't win. What a sore loser.
So a couple of side notes. As people were calling in en masse to their representatives in Washington, I love it when this happened. Oh, gee, the phone system crashed. Oh, well, we can't take any more phone calls. You know, how obvious does it have to get? Can we not even... They're able to phone tap every frickin' phone on the planet, yet it seems impossible to be able to handle a whole bunch of inbound calls from constituents who actually have concerns.
Well, luckily, the Senate still is an impediment to this thing going all the way.
Is it really, though? I hear everyone saying that, but how do you see that it's an impediment? Can the Senate actually stop this?
Well, yeah, no, this is
just the
one
half. Well, I know they can, but, you know...
I mean, yeah, they can, but... Here's the way it's set up. If you, especially after you listen to some of these things that Bonner points out that are in the bill, including the thing, by the way, I think, which I have a clip here called the money shot, which I believe is part of what this amendment that came in at 2 or 3:09 in the morning. What it's really about, it's buried. This little interesting piece of information is buried on page 210. He kind of finds it, but he doesn't realize how important it is. But he does mention it, and I do have it on here. But I think I need to, so everyone gets a good feeling for what a crock of crap this is. They can listen to some of these clips. And by the way, even Fox News, one of the writers, nobody really covered what the
money shot was.
Nobody covered the money shot, I guarantee that. But nobody covered any of this, especially the stuff that he keeps bringing up when he starts paging. He gets this, he comes and gets the floor. And first he brings out this chart, which I have a clip of, and which is Boehmer 1 chart. And this is what everyone was laughing about, and most of the people just thought this was the
hold on, buddy. I don't have Boehmer 1 chart. I have Boehmer building codes, woke up, alt fuel, and green banking.
That's all you got?
Well, I have more. I have end of life care, Pelosi
idiot. You don't
idiot.
Have, because I have it. I have it showing here, Boehmer1-chart.mp3, as having been sent to you.
Hold on, let me check. Maybe I missed it. Hold on one second, buddy. This is, of course. Oh, you're right. Okay, let me play it directly from here. This should work too.
Now, let me just set it up. This is where Boehmer brings out this chart showing the bureaucracy that's being set up by this 1,200-page law, and I had to speed it up to get through the whole thing, and it's still a long clip.
Hold on. I got to download it. It's not playing from Gmail for some reason. Oh, this will be fun. Okay, well,
anyway, so I sped it up so it's a little...
We have a chart here. Chart here that goes through all of the agencies involved, all of the structure that is created under this bill. It's all being done, of course, in the middle, by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Ah, the EPA.
They're at the center of this. But if you look at all of the different agencies involved, you'll see...
We've got the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission involved. We've got the United States Department...
Okay, John, you know, there are some people that listen to our show at double speed. This is going to be a problem, but let's continue.
Department of Agriculture is going to be involved. The Internal Revenue Service will be engaged in this bill as well. The Department of Treasury... I wish I could tell you what FWS was, but somebody could probably tell me. We have the Commodity Futures Trading Commission that's going to be involved in helping to regulate this. The National Oceanographic Weather Service, basically. The Department of Health and Human Services is going to be involved in putting this together. How about the Department of State play a big role in making sure that we get cleaner air and green energy? We got the Department of Energy, of course. The Department of Labor.
Okay, so I guess the point is every single department is involved in this.
A lot of ones you've never heard of at the end. We don't have to play the whole clip. There's all these weird trading energies and commissions you've never heard of, really weird ones, which will bring us, by the way, to the money shot later. So as we continue, Boehmer comes out with Bonner. It's a terrible name. If his name isn't bad enough, the guy who's talked before him, who we should play, is this guy Steny.
Yeah,
and who Stony. Is the?
We'll call him Stony.
Steny Hoyer, who from Maryland. And I don't know how you name a kid Steny.
Why don't you guarantee your kid's going to get beat up at school and name him Steny?
I mean, there's a lot of weird names going around for boys nowadays. Cody and and et cetera. And I don't want to start offending the audience.
Yeah.
I don't think we have too many Codys listening. But Steny, I never heard of this name.
Okay, so we have Steny Compromise and Steny 1, Steny 2.
Yeah, play part of Steny 1, and then we'll see how much we can take of it. You get the
idea. I think the sentiments expressed in the substitutes are good ones.
The sounds like Clinton, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
But America voted for action, not additional studies. America voted to make a difference, not to make a point.
How about change?
America voted
for hope.
For the change we could believe in.
There it is, change.
That's what
he drops all this with those in.
I know they can look back.
This guy's just grandstanding.
From a future in which America.
Now play Steny too. You can stop it there.
This bill is about making sure that foreign interests cannot raise the expenses of our families.
What?
This bill is about making sure.
It's so that we can do that. Not foreigners. We can raise the cost of living.
Sure that we in America.
In America.
Provide our energy.
Oh, yes.
Efficient energy.
Yes.
Clean energy. Energy that will not bring our globe to a heating process that will drown out what the Navy calls the literals.
Okay. The heating process that will drown out what the Navy, what the Navy calls the literals? What does that mean?
I have no idea. He explains it.
The seashores.
Oh.
Where most of our people live.
That means we're going to die of floods?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're all going to die.
So he goes on, by the way, and he says we're being he says we shouldn't be pushed around by potentates, and the 1970s was an example we should have pushed back, and he goes on and on and on. And as he's going on about potentates and foreign interests and giving the money to these horrible people, all Arabs he's basically naming, I'm thinking to myself, okay,
Arabs.
Well, let's do it. Where do we get our oil in the United States, and why doesn't anybody ever want to talk about the major – what is the one country that's the number one supplier of oil to the United States?
Canada.
Alberta. And who's number two? Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah, exactly.
In fact, in Canada, Alberta provides 83 – I just picked this up and I sent you some show notes. Alberta provides 83% of the crude oil to California. 83%. So where's these potentates? So why do we have to get – what do we hate the Canadians now? What's the deal?
What is the actual translation of a potentate?
I don't know. It's a great word, though.
Wait a minute. Let's look it up.
Potentate.
Hold on. I want to look
these
it up.
Potentates.
It doesn't sound good. Hold on.
I'm an impotentate.
I'm looking it up right now. Impotentate. Oh, wow. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm looking at Wiki, so take this with a grain of salt, folks. Potentate, from the Latin potens, powerful, is an informal term for a person with potent, usually supreme power. The term was used by the Christian church to describe God. It can be found in Timothy 6:15. One example of this use is in the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, in which God is described as potentate of time. So the Canadians rule.
The Canadians, they're impotent. So,
excuse me, that's john@dvorak.org.
So now play the Steny. Now there's one I'm just going to play this next clip just to make a point. Play Steny Compromise.
Some would like to do more. Some would like to do less.
You put your right foot in, you take your left foot out.
But we have reached a compromise. That is the legislative process.
Oh.
And it is a compromise that can pass this House and pass that Senate, be signed by the President, and become law and make progress.
My God.
Okay, that guy's an asshole. Now play Boner Woke Up.
Okay.
You know, if all of this wasn't enough.
So Boner is one of the good guys, just so y'all know.
He's the minority leader who took the hour.
I woke up this morning.
Woke up this morning.
And realized that last night at 3:09 a.m., a 300-page manager's amendment was dropped into the hopper at 3:09 a.m. I have spent most of the day trying to look at this 309-page bill, trying to come up with and understand what does this 309-page amendment to the 1,200-page bill, what does it really do? And so as I started to go through this, I mean, I didn't get past the first the first page. We're on page 16, line 5, strike 1992, and insert 1988. And on line 13, strike 1992, and insert 1988.
Yeah, get to it.
This appears to deal with the hydropower, and I'm trying to figure out, what is the impact of this date change? Nowhere in this
management. Okay, let me stop it for a second. He spends a lot of time going on for the hour bitching about the 3:09 a.m. thing. Like, I don't know if he had to call his staff up so they could pick through this thing or what. But
I looked at the amendment, the 300 pages. It's available online everywhere. I mean, it's a lot of shit to process. I mean, I can't even read 300 pages before I go to bed.
This is the point. This is why I want you to play the Steny compromise clip, because
what compromise
is
if you can't read it? Exactly.
If you throw something at these people at 3:09 in the morning and they have to vote on it that day, where's this compromise he's talking about?
Well, John,
they're ramrodding this thing through.
But this is exactly what happened with the stimulus package when they had 1,000 pages which no one had read, and they suspend the House rules. This is what happens over and over again. And the great thing is, here's more news about Michael Jackson. You want to play more of that?
No, you can stop that one. Let's go.
I'd like to play Pelosi Idiot, because that just is jumping out.
No, Pelosi Idiot comes last, because it's really a punchline.
Let me see if people are still interested. Yeah, no one's bitching about it yet. Okay. Because, we have to intersperse this with some Britney Spears nudes, dude. Otherwise, we'll lose the audience. They don't understand.
She hasn't been doing anything stupid. It's really getting annoying.
And now, back to real news.
Britney Spears did nothing stupid. Now, back to the show.
So, he goes on and on, believe me, page after page after page, and I have a lot of these clips. Maybe we'll post the clips, but let me play, here's one that's a good one. Play the Bonner green banking clip.
Page 165, green banking centers. We're just not going to do houses and commercial properties and multifamily housing. Now we're going to have green banking centers. The federal banking agencies.
Of course, the question is, what is a green banking center, obviously?
Shall prescribe guidelines encouraging the establishment and maintenance of green banking centers by insured depository institutions to provide any consumer who seeks information on obtaining a mortgage, home improvement loan, home equity loan, or renewable energy lease with additional information. Are you kidding me?
Additional information. Are you kidding me?
I have no idea.
Are you kidding me?
Try this one. Try the Bonner building codes clip.
And then we get to page 141. The Cranston-Gonzalez National Affordable Housing Act is amended. Why are we amending the Cranston-Gonzalez National Affordable Housing Act? I thought we were doing an energy bill here.
Yeah.
Page 142. Use of building materials and methods
that
are healthier for residents of the housing.
Yeah.
He goes on. Anyway, goes on and on and on, and it's all these things. You say, why would anybody vote for this under any circumstances, let alone the five or six or seven Republicans who didn't vote for it? By the way, they would have killed it. Including Sonny Bono's idiot wife, who happens to be a congresswoman down out of Riverside.
Did she take over his spot, or did she?
She got lucky. She ran. She got in.
And why is she an idiot? Why is she an idiot, John?
She voted for this bill.
Oh, okay.
Even
idiot.
After Bonner went on and on like this,
and she's a Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy, she must be working for the Disney Corporation.
Well, she's in Riverside. It's probably too far away. But the fact of the matter is, I think people in Riverside should vote her out. Okay, we could play these clips till I turn blue in the face. But let's go to the money shot. I'm looking for something. He goes on and on and on. It's actually quite amusing, and I have the whole thing taped. I'm going to put the whole thing online as an audio tape. You can put it on your CDs and
listen to it in the car. Listen to it on your commute from Los Angeles to New York.
Yeah. So this is the money shot. This is what this is one that sent the alarms off.
This caught my attention at the bottom of page 191, section 3, for vintage year 2012.
Uh-oh. This is the big one. The big 2012. This is the end of civilization. Here it comes.
Are we talking about wine? Let me get to page 208. Carbon derivative markets.
Ooh!
I heard enough about credit default swaps, but I think most of you know that under this section, the Commodity Exchange Act is amended by striking or an agricultural commodity and inserting an agricultural commodity or any emission allowance, compensatory allowance, offset credit, federal renewable electricity credit established or issued under this act. So now we're going to let those governed under the CFTC trade these credits with others around the world.
In derivatives.
On page 209, talks about the effect of derivatives regulatory reform legislation. Upon passage of this legislation, that includes derivatives. Regulatory reform, sections 351, 352, 354, 355, 356, and 357 shall be repealed. Any idea of the derivatives regulations that we're repealing in this bill? You probably didn't know we were doing that.
Well, here's the beauty of it, John. So if I can just parse this. So essentially, they're making the trading of derivatives, which means, you know, the same thing.
What brought the economy down?
The swaps and derivatives business on mortgages. And this whole thing is going to be overseen by the fantastic regulatory agency known as the Federal Reserve. So they're going to take these facts-based trading papers because it's not regulated, and the Federal Reserve, which is not a federal agency, is going to be overseeing it. Well, there you go. Excuse me.
We don't even know. The way he makes it sounds is the EPA is going to be overseeing it. But the fact of the matter is, this is why I thought it was the money shot. They are repealing whatever few regulations we have against this kind of phony baloney trading of stuff that doesn't exist.
Let me just bend over. Can you please put that flaming hot poker up my ass for a second, John? Because I just want to know what it'll feel like.
Unfortunately, the fire went out. So now,
can we do Pelosi idiot? This is already horrible enough.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so the point is that the whole thing, and that's why I think this bill was this amendment was so big to keep people from actually getting to page 209. So Waxman comes off and does his dick routine, bitching about the amount of time this guy spent. And so then he introduces Pelosi, who I now I'm thinking to myself, oh God, she's going to be on for an hour just going on and on. But nope, Pelosi is just her normal self. And if you listen to this clip, which is her, first she compliments the person running the session, Tauscher.
Oh, doing such a good job. I love it when they do jerk offs with each other. That's my favorite.
Oh, no, I left all the jerk off stuff out. One of these people, when the first thing they do, because Tauscher's quitting and going to work for the Obama administration, so they're all going on and on about, oh, it's so wonderful you were here. So anyway, so Pelosi does
thanks
that.
Thanks for showing up to work.
Yeah, Pelosi does that, and then she goes into her little thing, and of course she stammers, and she sounds kind of like she doesn't sound like a bright person to me, but she obviously is.
But I don't care what you say, she's got a nice rack.
So here's what she does. Here's her take. After all this stuff about the corrupt things in the bill and the fact that it's a joke, here's what she says.
I also wish to acknowledge the leadership of our chairman who so ably brought this important legislation, this historic and
Is this Waxman who's the leader?
Yeah, she's talking about Waxman.
Legislation to the floor. Chairman Waxman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. Chairman Markey of the Energy...
Hold on, I'm stammering because my mouth is not big enough to wrap around your cock.
Security and Climate Change Committee, Congressman Rangel, Chairman Rangel of the Ways and Means Committee, and Chairman Peterson of the Agriculture Committee. We thank them for their leadership and for giving us this opportunity today. Madam Speaker, no matter how long this Congress wants to talk about it... We cannot hold back the future.
It.
And so, in order to move on with the future, I want to yield back my time, submit my statement for the record, urge my colleagues to vote for this important legislation. And when you do, just remember these four words.
Oh, hold on. Are you ready for them, John?
You're just too funny.
Okay.
For what this legislation means. Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. Thank you.
Jobs.
Let's vote for jobs.
Jobs.
I got to get it. You can kill it now. I could. you got to get a clip of that that one section where she says, "Let's vote for Jobs,
Jobs, Steve Jobs, Jobs, Steve Jobs." My God. Okay, I gotta go somewhere else with you on this, because meanwhile, back at the ranch, we have this bill that Ron Paul introduced to audit the Federal Reserve, who will be the oversight body. Remember, Federal Reserve is not a governmental agency. It's banks. It's a banking conglomerate. And they have certain rights given to them with the Federal Reserve Act of 1933, I believe. So Representative John Duncan is asking Ben Bernanke, this was also earlier this week, I don't know if you saw any of his testimony, about this auditing of the Federal Reserve, about this bill, which now has a majority sponsors already lined up. Of course, the Senate could still stop it, and I'm a little confused, John, how the Senate would stop this, would stop this good bill from going through, yet could stop the bad bill for climate change going through, the cap and trade, but let's just listen to a second here.
Refused or declined to disclose the seriousness of the problems that were being faced by the Bank of America and Merrill Lynch at that time. What would you say to the majority of this Congress who has now co-sponsored,
You're able to hear that, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Co-sponsored the bill to require audits of the Federal Reserve. Do you feel that the Federal Reserve is operating with too much secrecy and too much refusal to disclose information that you have to other federal banking regulators?
The Federal Reserve has made enormous strides in the last year under my chairmanship to expand the information that we release.
You'll love this. We've got a website.
Monthly information on all the various programs that we have. We've developed a website and a monthly report that involves all
we got a website.
Kinds of information. We think we are quite transparent. We are happy to work with Congress if they have further concerns about.
Now, I'm just going to fast forward to the question about the actual audit, about the bill. And listen to Bernanke's answer.
That legislation was to pass.
My concern about the legislation is that if the GAO is auditing not only the operational aspects of our programs and the details of the programs, but is making judgments about our policy decisions, that would effectively be a takeover of monetary policy by the Congress, a repudiation of the independence of the Federal Reserve, which would be highly destructive to the stability of the financial system, the dollar, and our national economic situation.
So in other words, if we audit the Fed, we're going to kill everyone. This guy is unbelievable. And he actually has the audacity to say, well, that would put control with Congress, who are supposed to have that control in the first place.
It's a classic. Yeah. That's a classic clip.
It is.
I think that clip topped all mine.
And that will be in the show
except
notes.
Except the Waxman being a dick clip.
You're right. The Waxman is just... But you don't need a clip of the guy to know that he's a dick. All these, of course, will be in the show notes at noagenda.mevio.com. There's a couple other things. I took a sedan, a town car, to JFK. From downtown. I just barely made my flight on Friday to get back, and I was driven by Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones is from Jamaica, and I love talking with drivers. He's probably like 63, 60, kind of your age, John. And he, I'm sorry, 67. And he he's like, oh, I'm gonna, I won't do the accent. I won't embarrass myself. Oh, my man, I'm going to quit this job. I'm going back to Jamaica. And I said, oh, what are you going to do? Well, I'm starting a cooperative with farmers, and I'm going to teach people how to farm. And I say, well, you don't want any Monsanto seeds. And his head whips around. He says, you know about that, man? You've seen Food Inc. And so he starts about Food Inc., which is a great documentary film you have to see if possible. And he says, no, we've been saving seeds, non-GMO seeds, for 5 years. And he's just going on and on. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's awesome. And then he says something which I did not know, and I looked it up. On December 10th, 2001, the biotech company's patenting of not only genetically modified seed but also conventional varieties was legitimated by a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the case of JEM AG Supply versus Pioneer Hybrid International. So What that means is the actual process of being allowed to patent food was determined by the Supreme Court on December 10th, 2001. Interestingly, of course, that happened after a huge shocking event when people weren't paying attention. But here it comes. The ruling vote was cast by guess who?
Who?
Clarence Thomas.
Huh.
And did you know that he was an attorney for Monsanto before he joined the Supreme Court?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was a freaking attorney for Monsanto.
Wow.
So in 2001, as well as ruling on the seed patent issue, Justice Clarence Thomas received the Francis Boyer Award established by SmithKline Beecham in memory of Francis Boyer, a former chairman of SmithKline and a distinguished business leader for many decades. As a Boyer Award winner, Thomas got to give the Francis Boyer Lecture, which is delivered at the annual dinner of awards, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, this guy was an attorney for Monsanto, and he's been on the Supreme Court for, what, 15 years?
John? Ever since they found the pubic hair in the can of Coke.
I was going to say, long dong silver. I know, it's stuck in my head.
But, you know, now you think about it, that, you know, which should have been the issue was his connection to Monsanto, not all this other bullshit about the fact that he was was lewd amongst women. Because that's all you think about with Clarence Thomas.
Exactly. So maybe that was all. Well, I mean, that happened way before this ruling, but still. You're right.
Happened before this ruling, but I don't remember anybody ever bringing up the Monsanto connection when it was all his personal stuff.
So I have to hear it from a 69-year-old Jamaican dude who's been secretly collecting non-GMO seeds and is trying to save civilization in this little zit of an island with 2.8 million people who live there. And this is just, you know, I'm actually quite happy because the universe is coming together. There are people who are definitely waking up, and I'm so happy to see that. But wow, this just blew me away.
I always take the air train. You get to the airport. Although I'm glad you didn't. You get to the airport from downtown in about 35, 40 minutes max.
The air train? Where do you pick that up?
You have to. The air trains. There's actually a post on the Dvorak blog about this from 2005. The air train is a system that was set up about around 2004, 2005 to expedite people getting to JFK in particular. And essentially, what you do is you go to either Penn Station. You can take a couple subway trains to the connector, but generally speaking, you go to Penn Station, jump on the Long Island Railroad express train to Jamaica, mm-hmm. Jamaica Station.
Yeah.
Get off there, and then you just walk. You know, walk about 100 yards. And you jump on the air train, $5, boom, you're at JFK in 10 minutes.
Fascinating. I didn't know that. And JFK, what a shitty airport to get to over the Van Wyck. I mean, it sucks.
Oh, no, you don't. I have not taken a car. Even when people say, here's a car service, I don't want a car service. Yeah. It takes me an hour and a half to take a car. And, yeah, it's great. I'm in a comfortable car. But on the air train over to the railroad station, it's like 35 minutes.
But your point is well made.
And they run the things every 5 minutes.
Your point is well made, though. I'm very happy I took the car. Otherwise, I never would have gotten that piece of information about Clarence Thomas. And it just blew me away. You know, and this, by the way, is also the guy who cast the ruling vote in getting Bush in for that second term when we had the huge controversy over the votes. And, of course, Rumsfeld's company was owned by Monsanto. These guys, Monsanto is running our country, it seems.
Well, if they're getting the... I have to look at that patent on seeds.
All right, hold on a second, John.
And now, back to real news.
I think we've been getting way too close, Johnny boy, so do you mind if I throw a really wacky one out there so we don't get shot?
Okay.
Okay. Honey, don't listen to this, okay? All right, please. Oh, she gets so pissed off when I do these.
Your producer.
Yeah, my producer. I got the hottest producer in show business. So, Michael Jackson passed away. Very, very sad. I was actually quite emotional about this for a number of reasons. And I'm thinking about maybe doing a Daily Source Code resurrection tribute something deal in which I'd like to talk about that, but that's not completely appropriate for this show. But the one thing that really bothered me is Michael Jackson is a healthy guy. This guy is a dancer. I know he did hours of breathing training. He was into yoga. I mean, he just didn't seem like a perfect candidate for cardiac arrest, okay? And it bothered me. And, you know, 50 years, this is the kind of thing that would probably happen a little bit earlier, around your 40s. I mean, would you agree, John, that seemed a little bit off?
50 is unusual to have a heart attack, yes.
And he was gearing up for, I think, 30 or 40 concerts in London. And I know one thing about the show business. You cannot, and it's only 2 or 3 weeks away from these shows, you cannot put on a show of that magnitude with all of these, all of these shows without insurance. And I tell you, 100,000%, let lightning strike me if I'm lying about this. The insurance company did a full ass physical on the guy. Okay. There's just no other way. It does not happen. You cannot sell out O2 Arena. You cannot have this show of this magnitude without a full physical. So for him to all of a sudden OD on Demerol, it just, you know, and then the coroner, why does the coroner have to delay the results for 3 weeks? What is that? What is going on? So I'm hunting around and I'm thinking, what if this is a diversionary tactic? And I kind of like, you know, what some people are saying is, well, this is possibly, to distract people's attention from the cap and trade. I think, and I found a report, that states more or less the following, that Michael Jackson made a deal with the king of Bahrain, Sheikh Abdullah bin Hamad al-Khalifa. Now, this is the guy who sued him. If you recall, a couple of years ago, he sued him because he said Michael Jackson owed him millions of dollars and Michael was supposed to do concerts and records and an autobiography. And they settled out of court. This was this case served in the UK. It was a real dud because just as it went to the barrister, it was, you know, we settled out of court. The reason why, according to some opinions here, the settlement would allow his sold out UK concerts to be a platform for warning the world of a soon to occur mass genocide event, which would be, of course, the forced vaccinations for swine flu.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I'll take it even further.
Oh, no.
Yes, I got to, man. I don't want to get killed. Russian sources, you know, I love my Russian sources.
Pravda?
No. Said that their military Cosmos 2450 satellite shows conclusively that immediately prior to Michael Jackson's death in Los Angeles, an electromagnetic pulse consistent to EMR weapons was deployed at the exact coordinates of his home. They nuked him.
What? No, you've done it this time.
Would you like me to repeat it?
Why don't they used to just poison people? You throw some prussic acid in their face, they take a deep breath, and
they're
dead.
Dude, this is the space war shit that's going on. It's how they shot 447 out of the sky.
How come they didn't kill somebody else in the house?
Because it's exact. They got him. They're tracking him. They've photographed him. They have his biometric data.
Well, that would explain the 3-week delay, trying to explain all these strange burns.
Burn marks. What's that fried? Well, how come his hair is all fried?
Still smoking.
So anyway, now at least we won't get suicided. I just had to get that one out.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And we won't get suicided unless it's all true.
From our email, I think it's Rob. Sent me a really, really interesting question. He said, "Is it, you know?" He was listening to our show about the 1 ounce gold coin that I have, which is actually a $50 coin. He said, "What is stopping somebody from paying people in gold so they fall into a lower tax bracket? So, i.e., I owe you $100. No, I owe you $2,000." But I pay you $100 with two $50 coins.
Yeah, I got that mail too. I thought that was an interesting idea.
Is that, and he has some link to something? But is that possible, or it seems like it's legal tender, right?
The IRS is the laws about that are written in such a way that, you know, that which is one of the things, anything is money, is that it's kind of of like value provisions that mean that, yeah, it's a $50 gold piece that's legal tender as $50 in some, you know, bizarro world. But the fact of the matter is it's worth $1,500, and that's what your taxes are. They're not going to go for it. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, I thought
it was an interesting idea.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too. Right. Reading on MarketWatch, Peter Brimelow, one of your colleagues on MarketWatch, he's been following, and this fits right into something Carrie said, our East Coast research department. So this guy reads the Harry Schultz letter. Are you familiar with this?
That's one of those newsletters. I know I don't read it.
Okay, so the HSL, as it's known, which is not the high-speed line in Europe, but the Harry Schultz letter has consistently outperformed all other newsletters, I guess, and also, of course, accurately predicted the financial tsunami. And what the most recent, I haven't read it, obviously, because you have to subscribe, what the most recent report states, and this is something that you said you could find no evidence of when Kerry reported it several weeks ago, quote, some U.S. embassies worldwide are being advised to purchase massive amounts of local currencies enough to last them a year. Some embassies are being sent enormous amounts of U.S. cash to produce to purchase currencies from those governments quietly, all but not the pound sterling. Inside the State Department, there's a sense of sadness and foreboding that, quote, something is about to happen within 180 days, but could be 120 to 150 days.
This is the same source that
Kerry quoted the same source? Okay, I didn't realize that. But well, now MarketWatch is quoting it, so, you know, if you're on MarketWatch, then it has to be good, John.
Well, it's a, you know, this, but right now it's old. It's past the 120, as far as I can tell. Aren't we already way past this?
Well, usually maybe, these things take place on a bank holiday.
Hey, by the way, if they're, so he was going to go, so was the, wait a minute, let me get this straight. The Iran guy told Michael Jackson he had to talk about the vaccination thing, or what was
it? Yeah, not Iran.
Bahrain. Bahrain.
Yeah, Bahrain. Sorry. Yeah, Bahrain. Yeah. He says that the concerts were supposed to be used as a platform to warn everybody against a huge genocide, which of course is the forced vaccinations, which are totally possible under Presidential Directive 51, where the president can actually say you all have to take your flu shot. And if you look at the money being spent, there was $108 billion earmarked for H1N1 flu shots in the most recent military spending bill, you would think that this is coming.
You know, there's still something about this idea of a binary weapon that's kind of fascinated me when we came up with the idea that people who eat
French
something
fries,
or other.
GMO French fries?
Yeah,
like McDonald's.
GMO French fries or McDonald's, and then you get a shot. And then you drop dead because of the combination, not because of one or the other.
It's what all sci-fi writers love, right?
No, sci-fi writers. This is a constant theme. The binary weapon, where you have to have two parts,
two parts, right?
Or it'd be better if you had three. You know, so you got them set up with the French fries and the shot, and now all you have to do is just, you know, spray some Chanel number 5 in their face at Macy's, and they drop dead on the spot.
Well, I tell you, we got some milkshakes yesterday at McDonald's, and I, the fries were calling out to me, man, but I didn't buy them. I did not buy them.
If I were you, I wouldn't either.
I'm staying away. Do you want to play that one YouTube clip that was sent to us with the freecreditreport.com?
Oh yeah, I want to set this up. I was very annoyed by. Do we have the guy's name, the emailer? I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I'm going to look for it. Go ahead and set it up, and I'll find it.
So we got an email. The guy said, "Have you noticed that they're not only, you know, the credit reports have been taken to an extreme. First, now you might not get hired, and they hound you about this."
Stephen Nowicki.
Thanks, Stephen. You might not get hired if you have bad credit. What that has to do with hiring somebody to flip burgers is beyond me, but apparently that's becoming a trend. So there's all this thing that these credit report companies and the credit report agencies are really dominating our lives. And then he pointed something out from this commercial, which is the – play the commercial and then I'll explain what the subtext is.
Well, I married my dream girl, I married my dream girl, but she didn't tell me her credit was bad. So now instead of living in a pleasant suburb, we're living in the basement at her mom and dad's. No, we can't get a loan for a respectable home just because my girl defaulted on some old credit card. If we'd gone to freecreditreport.com, I'd be a happy bachelor with a dog and a yard.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Okay, so what the subtext of this is that now you, if you have somebody, if you know somebody with bad credit, don't even hang around with them, don't date them,
don't have sex with them,
don't have sex with them because it's going to get you in trouble. This is the sickest. I mean, when he pointed this out, it immediately dawned on me. I was irked because I didn't spot it. Yeah. But there's a subtext here that's going on in a propagandistic sense that is disgusting.
Yeah, it really is. It is so wrong.
Anyway, thanks for the find. Good catch, Stephen.
Yes. Well, our media sleep writes this website, which you'll find the link in the show notes at noagenda.mevo.com. The United Nations is proceeding with President Obama's acquiescence to implement a global plan to create a new international socialist order financed by global taxes on the American people. There was a conference recently on the world financial economic crisis, its impact on development, that starts Wednesday. I'm sorry. So it starts this coming Wednesday, which will consider adoption of a document calling for, quote, new voluntary and innovative sources of financing initiatives to provide additional stable sources of development finance. In other words, global taxes. And this will be the SDRs, John. This will be SDRs. So now we're going to be taxed indirectly or directly through the United Nations.
We're not taxed enough. So there's somebody has a song out or something listing all the taxes we pay. You pay airport taxes, you pay cab fare taxes, you pay hotel room taxes. In California, we pay a 10% personal income tax. You're going to like that.
How about your cell phone bill? I just got a cell phone bill. There's all kinds of government taxes on this thing.
And then we have taxes on sales taxes, almost 10%, and very noticeable.
Teleconnect fund, the universal lifeline, and then the city utility users tax. What the hell for a cell phone? What the hell is that? I got $19.39 in taxes on a monthly cell phone bill. Government fees and taxes. It's even stated that way. What's up with that?
No, the whole thing, we have more taxation in this country. It's got to be at least over half of everybody's income if you count the taxes you pay on everything. I mean, it's like the sales tax, the income tax, the property tax, the taxes when you go do anything. You stay in a hotel, you rent a car.
New York tax for hotels is outrageous.
The New York tax for hotels almost the price of the hotel room. Yeah. The car rental taxes are completely out of control everywhere. There's airport tax on the car rental tax. It's unbelievable. And if people are like, oh yeah, let's have more taxes. I'm always amazed by friends of mine who say, we're going to have to raise taxes. What are you going to raise them to?
Yeah, you know what? I think we need a call for arms, Johnny boy.
Well,
a call to arms.
Put on the watch list. And then, well, taxed for it. It'd be a watch list tax.
Hey, I want to go see the Dykes on Bikes. We're almost out of time. I think we should.
All right. Well, I got to do a call out for people who are going to give us some money. Some love this week. Dvorak.org/NA. We got a new page up with a couple of new things on there. Dvorak.org/NA. We really need your support. But let me call out a few guys who gave us some support, including Timothy. I got the right guys here. It's the right list. Hold on a second.
I love your show prep. It's wonderful.
I got lists all over the place. Felix Shadell, $100. Robert Markowski. Thanks, Felix.
Thanks.
Robert Markowski, $50. Gary Later, or Ladder, $50.
Thank you.
Michael LeBlanc, capital L, small E, capital B, small L, small N, small C, $50. David Souter, another $100. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
William Cortez, $50. Spongeberg Enterprise or Spongberg.
Oh, what do they do? What does Spongberg do?
Spongberg Enterprise. I haven't looked it up. We'll look it up later. $50. Patrick Thimbley, $51. And John Kilburn, $50. And I have to say, and thanks, John Kilburn.
That of course, is $51 is for Presidential Directive 51.
Oh, okay. That if he hadn't have done that, we would have had a whole week without some corny, you know, number thing that we'd have to guess at.
Yeah. That's it?
Yeah, we got a lawyer sent in, says no call for arms. That would give the feds an excuse.
Spongberg, S-P-O-N-G-B-E-R-G?
Yeah.
Spongberg Enterprises Inventory Management, Procurement, and Scheduling for the Oil and Gas Exploration Industry. Yeah, you should have given us a million.
Should be 15 million.
Yeah, really? You want us off the air, dude? If, give us 15 million bucks. We're history. We're so out of here. Hey, and you had a pretty good idea. Do you want to discuss that on email about some more fundraising
initiatives? Yeah, I think we're going to do some, you know, people, you know, want to get together in some way. I think we can do some special dinners, $500 a plate dinners. We'll get 10 people, go to one of the fanciest restaurants in the city or wherever we are.
So how many people would we have? We'd have like 10 people. Yeah,
just
exclusive
10.
Dinner. Like a like politicians do it, a real fundraising dinner, $500 a plate.
Yeah, but this won't be a chicken
Oh no, no, this will be a high-end restaurant, right?
Yeah, yeah, with high-end wine.
And at the end of the dinner, you still split the bill with us? So you pay $500 and you have to pay for the dinner?
No, no, we'll give them the food for free. We're just going to have to eat the losses.
And you will be searched, frisked, and you will have to go through metal detectors and biometric data scanners before you can get anywhere near us.
Yeah, but although if somebody comes in with an aluminum hat, I think we won't care.
If you're wearing a hat, no search. They should do that at TSA. If you have a tinfoil hat on, go on through. Don't worry. My bag, once again, by the way, passed through TSA security. Two more times, my trip to New York and back without any
okay,
checks.
Okay, try with a bottle of water and see how far you
okay,
get.
Okay, I'm going to do a bottle of water. They're going to arrest me if I have a bottle of water in there.
So, anyway, Dvorak.org/NA. We'd appreciate it. I'll try to get another interlude out this week, too.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And I'd like to thank AT&T. This entire show on my end produced on their USB stick, and it worked perfectly. I was not going to tell you because you would blame me if the connection dropped, but it's one of those little USB sticks, and the connection worked great.
Let me see you get the bill.
No, I'm within my 5 gig limit. Coming to you from an undisclosed loft location in San Francisco, California, Gitmo Nation West, I'm Adam Curry.
And from the Silicon Valley North, the place that doesn't exist, but it's here, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you again on Thursday right here on No Agenda.